Now we've talked about two parts of the conscience, and before we go on, we want to give you a parenting strategy that's going to help you as you work with your children. A parenting strategy that's going to help develop the conscience in children.
We want to talk to you about tightening your action point. A very important strategy in parenting. What is an action point? An action point is the point where you stop talking and you start acting. Many parents do a lot of talk, and explode. We're talking about tightening up that action point in family life.
And this often applies when we're giving instructions. Do we have a tight action point? An action point is an interesting concept if you start to look at them, because we recognize that different adults have different action points. Mom's action point is different than Dad's action point, is different than the babysitter's action point, is different than Grandma's action point or the teacher's action point. We all have different action points. But here's the fun thing, kids figure it out. They know when your action point is. You probably didn't sit them down and tell them this, but they know when you mean business. Maybe you say their middle name. Maybe you get angry, maybe you get louder. There's something that you do that says, now I mean it.
Imagine this story. Imagine that Mom is getting ready to go out for some errands and she sees Billy playing there. And she says, Billy, get your coat on, we're going out the door. We need to leave. And she goes around doing her stuff for a couple more minutes and come back, and Billy's still playing there. Billy, get your shoes on. We need to leave. We got to go do some errands. She goes around for another couple minutes, comes back around again, and there's Billy again, still sitting there playing with his toys. 5 years old, still playing with his toys. Billy, you need to get up. We need to go. Come on. We got to go to the drugstore. We've got to go to the school, and we've got to stop by a friend's house. She goes around doing her 2 minutes again, comes back around, and when she comes back around, Billy's still playing. Now she's really frustrated, so she comes in yelling. Imagine Billy over here. Billy's playing with his toys. As soon as he hears Mom, he says, Mom's talking in the other room. As when Mom comes around again, Billy says, I think we're going somewhere today. As Billy comes around another time, he says, I think it's getting closer. Then when Mom bursts in, he says, I guess it's time to go, and gets up and starts walking away. You see, in many families, children respond only when parents get upset. What we need to do is tighten the action point and help our children see that we mean business.
Now, how do children know when it's time to get up and start moving? How does Billy know this is the time? Well, we give our children cues. Often the cue is anger, and we would suggest that anger is not helpful in the discipline process. It's not necessary in the instruction process, but some parents will say to us, well, my kids don't respond unless I get angry. But the reality is, if we're saying that, it's because we've trained our children they don't have to respond until we get angry. What we want to do is tighten up our action points and children know that our words are important and we don't have to wait till we get angry. We've got to give kids cues, though. We want to put those cues in the instruction process. We would suggest that one of the things you can do is start your instruction with the child's name, end with the word now, and put "you need to" somewhere in the middle. That's a clear instruction that tells children you really mean what you say. Billy, you need to get your shoes on now. So then if Billy doesn't get up and go get his shoes on, then you can do something about it.
Tightening your action point is a very important concept, we believe, in parenting. It helps our children know when it is that we mean business. Some parents use a question. They'll say, are you ready to go to bed? Well, sometimes the child will say, no, I'm not ready to go to bed. Well, it's not wrong to ask your kids questions, but if you are giving an instruction, you don't want to phrase it like a question. Sometimes parents make suggestions. They say, I think it's time to work on your homework. And your son may say, I don't think so, because children often have different opinions than parents do. And it's not wrong to share your opinions with your child. But your children know the difference between an opinion and a question and an instruction. That's why we put cues, word cues, even in the sentence, so that a child knows that it's time to go. We've got to do something about it.
Now let's talk about how this applies to the conscience. Imagine Billy over here at age 5, knowing that Mom's going to keep saying it several times before she means it. Now Billy's 15 years old, and he's playing a video game. And he gets this idea in his head, I should probably start my homework now. Oh no, I don't have to do that. And he plays his video game a little bit longer. And he starts that nagging feeling inside again. I've got that big report due. I should probably start it. Nah, I don't have to do that now. And he keeps playing his video game. Why is that? because he doesn't understand this idea of responding quickly to the prompters. When he was little, if mom had tightened up her action point, he would have developed some self-control. So now at age 15, he'd have the self-control necessary to respond to the promptings of the conscience. You see, as we work with our children to tighten up our action point, we teach them about obedience. We're helping them to develop the character they need. We're helping them to respond to the prompters, so when the internal prompters come, they'll be able to respond.
Now, maybe you're saying, well, what do I do with Billy if Billy doesn't get up and move, right? Well, there are a lot of different parenting strategies that you can use. I mean, we have 7 categories of consequences that we often teach parents to use with their children. But let's not use a consequence approach here with Billy. Let's just use a conscience approach. Let's continue with the same vein here. You might go over to Billy and make Billy feel a little uncomfortable, because that's what the conscience does, right? The conscience makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable if we aren't doing the right thing. So you might just go over there and your presence makes him feel uncomfortable. Billy, I asked you to get up and get toward the door. You need to get up and go now. I feel like you're not obeying me. And your presence makes him feel uncomfortable. That's a conscience-based approach. It's not the only approach, but if we're going to continue to work with children, sometimes they need some parental uncomfortable feeling as they're learning what it means to feel uncomfortable on the inside. I mean, you can do that with a 15-year-old. You ask him to come and help in the kitchen, and he continues to watch TV. You can go over there, and just your presence next to him. Son, I asked you to come in and help me in the kitchen. Just your presence can be what's needed there to make him feel uncomfortable and move forward. We're just trying to use the conscience and develop it and strengthen it in a child's life.
So one of the first things that we can do as parents is just to think about our action point. How is it that your children know that you mean business? How are you communicating that? Is your action point delayed? Does it need to be tightened? We would suggest that if you're finding yourself getting angry or nagging a lot, those are 2 symptoms that indicate it's time to tighten your action point.
Let's look at a theological concept. If we look at the theology of salvation in the Bible, we see that the conscience is very much involved in that process. Let me read some verses to you from the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 9, we have 2 verses that use the word conscience. The first one says, Hebrews 9:9, the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. Referring back to the tabernacle and all the sacrifices, they weren't able to cleanse the conscience of the worshiper. But 5 verses later, we have the secret. Here's what it says. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences? Now that's pretty significant, because what we see is that in salvation, in this gift that God has given to us of salvation, we recognize that God does a work of cleansing the conscience. There's another verse, though, that's very important, and that is Acts 24:16. Because even after the conscience is cleansed through salvation, there's more work often that needs to be done in the inner day work in our lives. Paul says these words in Acts 24:16, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. That's a very important concept here, because now Paul is doing some work. He's striving, he's working hard to bring it together and to make it come together in the area of his conscience. He works at that in his life.
Although it's ultimately the blood of Jesus that cleanses the conscience, there's work that we do every day. And as we're working with our children, we also want to help them understand the benefits of a clear conscience. We want them to understand that conscience work in their lives. Because as we're working with our children, really the goal we have is to work ourselves out of a job, isn't it? We don't want to be parenting them forever. We want to teach them how to be internally motivated to do the right thing. So we want to work ourselves out of a job.
You see, you might be saying, well, my child isn't a Christian yet. He has never asked Jesus Christ into his life. Does that mean we abandon the conscience idea? No. Even if your child's heart isn't in it, we're still building the container that our children need for life. If your child says, I don't want to go to church, or I don't want to go to the doctor, you say, well, if your heart's not in it, then we won't do it. No. What you say is, we're going to do it anyway because it's the right thing to do. And so we have this container that we build of the things that we need to do, and we move forward and we continue on with our children. We're working on this container, but we are praying that God will breathe life into the container. That's so important. We're praying because we know that God is the one who changes the heart. God is the one who's working on a child's heart. A child's heart can lead him astray. God has given the conscience as one of those pieces that helps him stay on track, along with the Holy Spirit in his life. Even if the heart is going astray, the conscience makes a statement. The conscience prompts him in the right direction. When we focus on the conscience, good things happen.
Many parents today are caught in what we call reactive parenting. They deal with the short-term problem instead of thinking about the long-term. Reactive parenting only addresses the moment. A dad yells at his son to stop whining. A mom gives in to a badgering child and buys the cereal she knows is not best. Parents use anger to solve problems or ignore wrong behavior because they don't have the energy to deal with it. Or they don't realize there's a better way.
Reactive parenting is dangerous because it doesn't take into account the long-term consequences of short-term parenting choices. Yelling at kids may stop the whining in the short run, but it hurts a child over time. Giving in to badgering relieves the demandingness for a short time, but actually reinforces it.
Working on the conscience is a whole different way to parent. It's amazing how many areas of parenting are touched when we strengthen the conscience.
The conscience is part of the heart. And remember that God is the one who changes a child's heart, so be sure to pray regularly for your child. It will make a lot of difference in your parenting.
We hope that you're already finding some things, that you're doing well, and that this is affirmation that you're on the right track. Be ready to come back next time and share some of the things you're learning about relating to your child on a conscience level.